Good morning and welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. It is good to be here with you and with Josh and with Adam as well. Excited to get a conversation going. Hey, just a super simple question to start off. Today, as we record, is Thursday, January 5th, as it is released Monday, January, what, it'll be 8th?
9th.
Yeah. Boom, there you go, the way the calendar works. And so we're a little over a week in, or a little under a week in, to a new year. How's it started off? How's 2023 so far?
The weather's been weird.
Yeah.
I'm not used to humidity in January, but so that's been a little weird. Really have enjoyed, I found a new Bible reading plan for this year, and so it's more of a chronological one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I started off with the first few chapters in Genesis, and then all of a sudden I'm in Job.
Job, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just going to be a nice little, I think, a different kind of approach to it.
Start your year off with...
Yeah, pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering.
Yeah.
There you go. The Lord gives and the Lord
speaking
takes
of football,
away.
Yeah.
No, it's been good for us too. I guess this was last year, but we did the road trip to Kansas and back to visit family, and that was a lot of fun. And our kids traveled well, so we made the trip quickly, and we had good travel weather, so that was good. And just glad to be back in rhythm now. I think I thrive there, so it's good to have kids in school and kind of a normal sort of, you know, hours in the day. So I like the schedule. So how about you?
Yeah, not bad. I was telling Adam, I think the other day, it was just incredibly pleasurable experience to start a brand new journal on Monday, January 2nd.
Yeah.
And it was...
Did that just line up that way, or is it a journal based upon the calendar?
No, it did not line up that way. I had probably like 25 pages left in my old journal.
Okay.
And I was just like, no.
See, it did line up that way. It did line up for that for me. So I actually wrapped up last year's journal. Now, it was journal number two because there's only so many days that you can fit in there. But I wrapped it up on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So that was Saturday, Christmas Eve. And so I just journaled on my computer.
Yeah, nice.
So that on January 2nd, Monday, whenever I sat down, I could like start it off with just a clean journal. So that's pretty cool.
There's something about that. I don't know. It's also, I remember I was living with a shout out to Jim and Jane whenever I was interning here at the church in 2018. And I got so excited one day because, you know, like if you ever buy like the tub butter, like how amazing it is to be the first one to dig into a mound of tub butter.
Or peanut butter.
Like, peanut butter
me,
or something like that. Like you peel off the top and you get to just like take that knife and go smooth in that. And so it became this thing where every time Jane had to open a new tub butter, she would wait for me.
True love.
Like she would wait so that I could come in and I could be the first to take the knife to the tub butter. And that right there is like, that's kind of what we're getting at with that. Starting a new journal. Like it's just there's something about it. Something about
you can,
that pleasure.
If you can time the new toothpaste and a new toothbrush on the same day, that's also a good experience.
Yes.
Wait, you're supposed to get new toothbrushes?
How long have you had your
toothbrushes?
Toothbrushes? toothbrush eye?
Maybe that's a New Year's resolution. It's a new toothbrush.
A new toothbrush for Adam. Let's replace the one he's had.
Yeah, since I
new toothbrush every year.
Yeah. New every year, one.
One new toothbrush.
Get it in
year.
Your stocking at Christmas, and you're good to go. All right, hey, here's what is on a lot of people's minds as we kind of start the new year. Today, as you are listening, is the national championship game of Georgia, Go Dawgs, versus Texas Christian University, the Horned Frogs.
Horned Frogs,
yeah.
Weird mascot, but nonetheless. I think I know the answer to all of this, but who you guys, A, rooting for, and B, think are going to win? Could be a different team. Could be the same.
I mean, I'm rooting for the Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Yeah. I think they'll win as well, but TCU has been surprising.
They're a little streaky.
They are.
But they're just, I mean, they're a Big 12 team. So bad defense, high power offense.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how you
summarize it. And a quarterback named what, Mac or Max? Or
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. We don't even know the guy's name.
Yeah, you're from Texas. So is a horned frog the same thing as like a horned toad? Or are those different?
I have absolutely no idea.
Are there a lot of horned frogs in Texas where you're from?
Aren't purple. Like, I don't know where they got the color purple.
Why are they called horned?
I don't know. I've never seen a horned frog in real life.
Huh. Well, you're from Texas, so.
And, unless, you know, I probably, you know, saw one in passing at the zoo at some point, but didn't really think at that point in my life, oh, there's the TCU mascot.
Something for us to find out before next week.
I really do. Like, I don't understand why a team called the Horned Frogs, their main color is purple. Like, you would think it'd be kind of like green or
brown,
sort of off brown or something like that.
Who knows?
You never know. But yeah, go Dogs. We hope to celebrate another national championship back to back.
Be something, man.
It would be cool. We can see Stetson Bennett ugly cry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught up with this. This is what I said immediately after the field goal missed in the semifinal over Ohio State. They showed Stetson Bennett. That boy ugly cries, man.
Yeah.
Like he gets really, really emotional, which is fine, you know.
Whatever. Oh, yeah.
But.
Well, it's for me, like, I really don't cry a whole lot. And I don't say that with like pride or anything like that. I just don't cry. Because whenever I do cry, it's like sobbing and it's ugly, it's loud. And so that's why it's like, you know, there's some people they can like get a tear to roll down their face or something like that. Very rarely.
All or nothing with you. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Very rarely do my eyes just get like a little like, you know,
sweaty.
Right.
It's just like, if I'm going to end up crying, it's just like, I end up sobbing, just like
heaving. Doing the whole like breathing.
Yeah. So that's why I don't really cry. So
if Adam has to leave for like an hour, you know, we'll know why.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, Adam, you started off your sermon yesterday talking about how sometimes we like to watch shows, maybe even binge shows, and then compare ourselves to the characters. So fun question. What have you guys been watching recently? Maybe you've been not necessarily binging it. Like I have, haven't been binging, but, what you've been watching recently that's been enjoyable?
Not much. Just football basically. Although over Christmas we did watch the Star Wars trilogy, the original 4, 5, 6 with our kids. And I had to laugh because we were halfway through episode 6 and Rosalie said, "Wait, why are they fighting?" So it was just super funny.
Yeah.
But the kids, they loved it, and it was fun to kind of do that. But mostly Star Wars. I mean, mostly football. Looking forward to The Chosen. Haven't watched that
yet. Yeah, I haven't started season 3 yet.
So I'm excited for season 3, yeah.
Tristan and I went and saw the first and second episode in theaters when it released earlier.
Yeah.
And then since then have watched 1. So I think 4 episodes are out right now.
Yeah, I think by the time this comes out, I think it'll be 5.
So we're 1, 2, 3 in it. 1, 2, and 3 in. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
Just like season 1 and 2. It was really good.
Yeah, highly.
So, yeah, if you're not on The Chosen, that's one you should get on. I've been watching, you know, I think we've talked on the podcast before about how Tristan's kind of in a different season with school and during the week is away from home. And so I've been trying to do less of this and more actually good things, but I got onto this, like, okay, everything Star Wars that I missed, I'm going to watch it all. And so that's what I did. Like all of those Disney Plus shows, I did Mandalorian season 2. I did Andor. I did Obi-Wan.
Did you like Andor?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I enjoyed Andor quite a bit.
I could never get past episode 1.
Episode 1.
I never watched
hard.
That one.
Like whenever I watched episode 1, I
think I fell asleep twice.
Yeah, episode 1 was slow. It ended up being really, really enjoyable.
Okay,
once you got past that one, but you know, it's like the same thing. Everybody loves The Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody hates the first 2 seasons of The Office. So
I don't know about the first 2.
I don't know, man. That basketball episode is hilarious, and that's in season 1, right?
You just don't like The Office, right?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't think it's as good as what people say it is.
All right, you need to just stop again.
Yeah. Then. Oh, well. It's fine.
Maybe the podcast will have a unfortunate stop again like last time because you'll just have to leave.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go off the rails again.
Yeah.
And we'll have quote-unquote technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
I love it. All right, let's jump into the sermon. And before I do go off the rails, Adam, why don't you give us a quick recap of what you shared yesterday, the beginning of a new series, To My Friend Who Left the Faith.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, at the beginning of the year, we always kind of like try to think through how do we help address people who might be coming back to church for the first time in a little bit or trying to start new habits or new rhythms in their lives. And so we always like to start off with something that's a little bit of, I don't think this is a real word, but apologetic-y. And
Sure.
I'm just trying
Which does not mean we're apologizing.
No.
Defense of the faith stuff.
Yeah. Just thinking through some big questions kind of thing. And so I came across this book. It's a really interesting book. I don't know that I'd be like, oh, man, everybody needs to go out and buy this book kind of thing. But the title is what grabbed me more than anything, you know, to my friend who left the faith. Because one of the things that unless you've been like, you know, just living under a rock the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a lot of stories like of high profile, which is a weird thing to say about Christians. But, you know, people who are like, you know, recording artists or even pastors who are like, I'm out, you know, I'm done now. And and then you bring it down into the personal level. I'm very confident that here in Walton County, you know, that there are a lot of us who know people who are like, yeah, they used to be a Christian or they used to be faithful. And now they would just kind of say, you know, I'm agnostic or I don't believe or I don't want anything to do with that any longer. And as preachers, I think that the three of us would agree that there are very few things that hurt more than seeing someone who was once walking with Christ just kind of walk away from it or abandon it.
Yeah.
And so that's why this title just grabbed me. It's just like, oh my gosh. Without even knowing the book, it was just like, I read that title of the book and it was just a gut punch of like, oh man. But then I started reading the book and it is an interesting approach. It's his letters to a childhood friend that he grew up going to church with who's no longer in the faith.
Okay.
And so it's just, he's like, I think better whenever I write, so I'm going to write these letters to you instead of just like stammering while we're on the phone or, you know, sitting down having a cup of coffee. And so it's a fascinating approach.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember in college we read a book actually called Letters to a Skeptic.
Yeah, I was going to mention
that. It was like a son to his dad, I think.
Is that Geisler?
I can't remember.
I think
can't remember,
exactly
sure. But
I'll Google it.
But it's just interesting that here we are 20 years later, and it's the same thing. It's kind of cool. Maybe it's a hint for us that here's a method we could take.
Let's start writing letters again. Put the post office back in business.
Yeah.
Go get some stamps. Yeah, no, that's a good book. I have read Letters from a Skeptic within the last couple of years and have passed it along to a couple of people. Wrestling with some questions, it's really cool. One, to see the actual conversation in regards to theology and defense, but two, just to see in that book, and I'm sure in this book to my friend who left the faith, just the relationship that was evident. Like letters,
there's a give and take. Like, there's a back and forth.
Hey, it was so good to see you over Christmas. I'm so glad I got to spend time with my grandkids. And also, how can a good God exist while there's evil in the world? And it was just kind of, you know, like fun to talk about, to see the interaction between, you know, father, son, in this book, friends, with those letters. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's Letters from a Skeptic. A son wrestles with his father's questions about Christianity. It's Gregory Boyd and
Boyd. That's right. Yeah,
Edward Boyd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And I think if I'm remembering right, Gregory Boyd is philosophy apologetics professor at some Bible college and or seminary, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
really, really good. Both of these books, not be a bad one to pick up off the shelf. It's kind of the idea behind our series. Like you were saying, Adam, we all know, I assume that we'd all know someone to whom we could fill in that blank to my friend named blank who left the faith. So, man, it's a series that's good for us. And really, week one was helpful because before we kind of jumped into to my friend, we kind of looked at ourselves.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Deeply. So, walk us through kind of what you shared yesterday.
Well, we looked at the Jesus' most famous story of the prodigal son. And the thing that we normally do with that story is we think that it stops whenever the son comes home. Because that's like the happy moment, and that's the warm, fuzzy moment of the story. But there's more to it, and really, if you look at how, you know, Luke lays it out and Jesus lays these stories out, the climax of the story is with the older brother.
Yeah.
Because all these stories are told not really to people who are far from the faith. it's to these people who are looking down on Jesus because of who he's hanging around with. He's talking to people who are on the inside, not on the outside. And so that's why the story really climaxes there with the older brother standing off to the side. And Jesus leaves it hanging of, like, we don't know what the older brother does, because that was his point. He wanted the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, those who were on the inside, to have to wrestle with this and go, oh, wait a second. Is he saying what I think he's saying? And what am I going to do about it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It's not an easy one.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we really just tried to, what we're hoping we accomplished is just getting us all to just look on the inside first and go, hey, before I start trying to have these conversations, you know, or while I'm having these conversations with my friend who left the faith, it's probably good to start off with a little bit of introspection and go, you know, it's really hard to share something that I don't possess already. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm trying to call my friend, you know, back into the faith, it's probably a good idea to look and just go, oh, wait a second, am I where I need to be as well in all of this?
I think it's good. Really helpful, Josh, as you kind of think through what you heard yesterday, what was maybe particularly helpful or encouraging or challenging or insightful. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts.
Yeah, lots, as you both have mentioned, from this older brother perspective that is challenging. When you talk about people who are in ministry for a living, that's kind of like what we easily fall into would be an older brother, because we know the stuff, we've been around. Mm-hmm. So just the whole way through is particularly challenging. But I love that, you know, Adam, what you started out with, the picture of the prodigal son returning home, Rembrandt.
Yeah.
And I loved how just you brought out some of the artistic side of that. How would you say the hands were the most lifelike?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what Rembrandt is drawing us into. And I just thought about that concept for a while, how, you know, when an artist produces a piece of art, they're not just throwing stuff together generally, especially someone like Rembrandt. You know, it takes hours and it's thoughtful and it's meant to tell us a story on purpose. And so I think if we maybe think like artists and dwell on a certain aspect of this story and think, man, how can I have the hands of the Father?
Yeah. Well, and what's really interesting about this painting, and if you don't remember what it looks like, we showed it yesterday, but, you know, maybe just Google Rembrandt, Return of the Prodigal Son. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible painting. And Henry Nouwen, who's a writer that's, you know, written on a lot of things that have meant some stuff to me, he did an entire book just on his reflections of this painting. He went, remember where it is, and he just sat in front of this picture for days and just journaled thoughts and just scribbled down his reflections and thoughts about it. And one of the things he noticed about the painting, you know, you talk about the hands of the Father, mm-hmm. is that if you look at the hands, the left hand is very masculine. The right hand is very feminine.
Okay, interesting.
And so it's like you've got this like, you know, masculine, you know, dad, father touch. And then you've got like the feminine mother touch that is right there as well. And, you know, Josh, you pointed it out and we talked about it yesterday, but like the face, not a lot of detail, but you look at those hands, like it gets down, like you can see the veins.
And they scream protector on one side and comforter on the other.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's just this incredible painting. I mean, I'm not really like an artsy kind of guy, but.
Right. And so that's why I said, you know, I think that's what stuck out to me is just we as human beings, God communicates to us through every form of communication. So the written word, the spoken word, or in this sense, the art, like art, you know, painting. And the hands of the Father, that's really the point of the story. So you're talking about the climax of the story is what does the older brother do? And really that is the climax, obviously. But another aspect of that is the point of the story is to get us to act like the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just to avoid being the younger brother or just to avoid being the older brother. Mm-hmm. It's to finally get to the place where we are adopting the attitude of the hands of the Father, which is why I picked that out. So,
Well, and the previous two stories as well, you know, we're the, you know, the woman who's searching for the lost coin. We're the shepherd who's going after, you know, the Father is the one looking for the lost coin. The Father is the one looking for the lost sheep. The Father is the one who runs out to the lost son. And the father is the one who is waiting for the one who's been there next to him the entire time to actually come into the party and be a part of what he's
doing. Really, so I remember I preached on this actually last year when we did the series Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was up for this week of the older brother because we broke it down into four stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sheep, the coin, then the younger brother, then the older brother. And thinking through that again was just, it was challenging because the older brother, I mean, the father had the right just to kind of kick him out
mm-hmm.
like, because that was so offensive in that day to do what he did, to sit outside and pout on the porch.
Yeah.
The father had the right to just say, get out of here. Like, you don't deserve this. But he didn't do that. He went outside on the porch and begged him. Depending on what translation, like the NIV here says pleaded.
Yeah.
The NLT, I think, says begged. The ESV says entreated.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like this incredible picture of a father who is a prodigal father because he's doing things he shouldn't do. He ran to the younger son.
Mm-hmm.
He's begging the older son. And that's our heart. Yeah.
Willing to humiliate himself on behalf of those who are lost.
So that was it for me. That was a long tangent.
No, I love
on the hands
I love it
of the father,
because,
but that's it. Yeah.
Because if you pull back what you're saying to kind of the heart of entering into the series to my friend who left the faith, week one is a look into ourselves, and it's saying towards those who you know who are lost, or towards mm-hmm. those that you once knew had a relationship with God but have walked away, do you have the heart of the father
mm-hmm.
or the cold heart of the older brother?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the sermon got really just difficult for me thinking mm-hmm. through maybe right now in my life, or for sure different seasons in the past of my life where I would not have been described with the heart of the father
mm-hmm.
and would have been older brother myself, focused more on my own goodness, so that the reception I get from the Lord
mm-hmm.
is grand, rather than focusing on the actual heart of God,
mm-hmm.
which is for those who are broken and lost and need to return. And I loved this line. This one, you know, I think I shared a couple of weeks ago whenever we, you know, do the whole send out the sermon for feedback. Those who are not preaching that week, give it a read and mm-hmm. some comments, all that sort of stuff. This was one of those lines that kept me from skimming. It was mm-hmm. it was one of those lines that kept me from stopping, and it made me stop and think. And it was the line that you can be with God and far from God.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can be with him. You can mm-hmm. have this whole church thing going on. You can mm-hmm. have this whole ministry thing going on, but you can actually be far from the presence of God without knowing him. And one of the prayers that I have to pray often, more often than I'd like, is just, Father, forgive me for whenever I get so focused on accomplishing great works for you
mm-hmm.
that I forget to actually know you intimately.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I feel that. Let's talk about this line a little bit. What might this look for people? Like, how would you describe someone who might be with God but far from God as we kind of jump into this conversation about the older brother? We'll get into that here in a minute, but let's describe that. How can you be with God and far from God?
Yeah. And I think that this is one of those things. And if I remember right, I gave like the deep water warning or something like that. You know, it's just like, this is not like superficial stuff. So if you're just, like skimming through these things, then you can walk away with something that we're not intending for you to walk away with. You know, we're not intending for you to walk away with, just like doubt about your salvation,
sure.
or, you know, or to take away your blessed assurance or any of those kind of things. But it is a challenge for those of us who are, we're in church every single week. We are giving, we're tithing, we're serving, you know.
Listening to the podcast.
We're listening to the podcast, all seven of you. And, you know, it's really easy to do things for God and not from him. If that makes sense,
sure.
To where it's like, is it a cold, just strict obedience? Am I just going through the motions? Am I doing this because I'm trying to gain approval? And I think that's the big thing. Is it comes down to, you know, motivation. You know, why am I doing this? Because there's a huge difference in going, oh my goodness, God loves me. He died for me. He saved me. I didn't earn this. I don't deserve a lick of this. I deserve all the stripes, all the strikes, all the things there, but Jesus took all of that for me. And so it's not even like I'm in debt to him, because that's not even fair, because debt implies that like you could even begin to pay it back.
Sure. Yeah.
There's like,
you can't,
I can't, yeah. I'm like utterly, completely, like everything is for him. And so, oh, now I'm, it's just like out of like joy and out of delight, out of honor. Now I go out and, you know, I serve, now I give, now I do this. And it's not because I'm trying to put God in a headlock and say, I'm doing these things, so you've got to do it, you know, you've got to do things my way. And it's not because it's like, oh my goodness, God, I'm doing this because I got to pay you back for what you did for me. Mm-hmm. It's just a, it's a resting in knowing that I'm loved. I'm loved. He delights in me. And yeah. So here it is. How could I not? It is really kind of attitude. Josh, you're sometimes better at explaining this stuff than I am. So you take a stab at it.
I just wrote a few things down. Here's what I wrote. How can you be with God and far from God? So reading the Bible but not engaged,
mm-hmm.
going to church but not expectant, and then I just had to laugh at this one, walking through the earth but not overwhelmed by beauty. Because
mm-hmm. that's good.
Because I remember my sister growing up, we poke fun at her for this. We did a road trip growing up through a bunch of the states out west, like all of them, I think, except North Dakota, like crazy. And we went to all these national parks. She wasn't a big fan of the national parks. And at one point she said, do we have to stop again? It's just the same thing. It's a bunch of rocks. And
some are bigger than the others.
That's right, yeah. And they're
different
shapes,
you see them all, man.
And arches. And anyway, so it was just a funny thing. And, you know, I'm not accusing her of not being in awe of God's beauty, obviously.
She's not going to hear this. It's fine. Confusion.
Love you, Megan. But the funny aspect of that is when you stop and think, like reading the Bible but not engaged, how can you not? When you stop and think, you back up, wait, the God of the universe like wrote down some like a story for me to hear his heart? How can I not be engaged in that? There's a gathering of people that somehow he has graciously called to himself, given us everything, even the willingness to come to him. He gave that to us. How can I not be expectant? How can I walk through the earth and not be overwhelmed by the beauty of it? So I think that things like that just kind of, it can turn us on to the fact that maybe I am far from God if I'm not allowing the beauty of the earth to overwhelm me, or the Bible to engage me, or church to cause me to be expectant. So,
yeah, I think that there's this thing inside of us that the reason why we struggle with grace so much is twofold, but one is because we can't get our arms around the fact that it truly is free. It's like, this makes no sense. I should have to do something here, and so mm-hmm. I'm going to give you all of my obedience, and here we go. And so that's what can keep our heart far from him, because we're still in this position, this posture of, I've got to earn this. I've got to be my own savior. I mean, this sounds way too good to be true. You know, and so, and just in case it's not really true, I'm going to make sure that I've got all my bases covered, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, you know, got every box checked. But I think the other thing too, and it was actually in a New Morning Mercies today, Thursday, January 5th.
Yeah, it's on my mind as well.
Yeah. Okay. You know, to where he talks about the other reason is that we don't understand how big of a disaster we are.
Yeah,
and that sin is so much bigger than we can even begin to grasp. We all think that we are far more righteous than what we really are. Mm-hmm. And so the way he phrases it is like we've taken this step to embrace the delusion that we're not so bad in God's eyes after all.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's like, oh, yeah, that's older brother. I mean, that's the older brother mentality.
I'm working hard. I didn't leave like my younger brother. And so you get to this point where you're sharing your sermon yesterday where you, I think, accurately describe the older brother is lost, but it wasn't because of his badness.
No.
Like the younger brother. It was because of his goodness.
His goodness blinded him to his badness.
Which is this crazy concept. Like, when's the last time you heard a church sermon that said your goodness could cause you to be lost? But in reality, like, that reflects a lot of what is written in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That whenever we rely on our own obedience, whenever we rely on our works and our obedience to the law to achieve righteousness, that we're going to fall short. We're going to fail because ultimately that's keeping us from the presence of God, knowing him intimately. And so you've got this older brother who, even though he was around the home with the father, he didn't know anything about the father because he was surprised to see the true character of the father, the heart of the father, react the way that the father
did. Yeah, and I think that's such a huge point, Luke, because that's why he's so ticked off. He is ticked off at his dad because of how his father welcomed the younger son back. But if he truly knew his dad, he would have not been caught off guard by that one bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he truly knew his dad, he wouldn't have surprised him, but he also would have joined in and participated.
He would have joined in on the party as well. Right. And so it's he spent all that time with him and never got to know him. And I think, if I could summarize it succinctly, I think that's the danger for us church folks.
Right.
Is we spend all this time with him, yet we never get to know him.
Can I throw out maybe a trigger word?
Uh-oh.
We get entitled.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like we do all of these things. Well, God, I'm doing this for you and I'm doing this for you and I'm organizing this for you. And darn it, I've been giving 10% and I'm doing this and this and this. And so now I am entitled to your blessing.
Yeah.
I am entitled to special treatment from you. I am entitled to, and it's not really the way that this works. You see in all three of these stories in Luke chapter 15, Jesus says it, the heart of the Father is that there's going to be more joy in heaven when one lost sinner repents than those who, the 99 who are righteous and haven't really strayed away. Like, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I just think it's so incredible you get this. One of the things that's always bothered me about this story, and I don't know if I could say that, you know, something bothers me about a story Jesus tells, but it bothered a lot of other people, I'm sure.
It's kind of his point, though.
There's a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and I know that that's intentional and I know that's on purpose because, you know, we put ourselves in the story. We often find ourselves as the older brother. And so the cliffhanger kind of summarizes this idea. Well, now you get to choose. How are you going to respond?
Yeah.
You're going to come into the party or not. But it's just like, man, that cliffhanger gets me just thinking, you know, about the older brother. Does, you know, he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
How does the older brother be found?
Well,
and, you know,
and some of them did. Some of them got it. We know that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, who became followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
And some of them stayed out on the back porch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to point this out, too. Jesus was not the only one in the Bible to tell a cliffhanger story.
Well, sure.
Because if you look at the Old Testament story of Jonah.
Yeah, that was the one that struck me.
It's a cliffhanger. It's like, well, what did he do?
Yeah.
The book ends in kind of a weird way.
The way that the book ends makes me, like, Jonah is my least favorite character in the Bible because of the way the book ends.
Well, yeah, but it's so good. Yeah, it's like, and it's who described the prodigal son, switching back to this one now, as the greatest short story ever written?
I can't remember. It might have been Dickens.
I can't remember. We can fact check that, look it up here in a minute. But the greatest short story because of that, I think, it's like, what are they going to do? And not just what was he going to do, but really the cliffhanger is, what are you going to do? What is the audience going to do?
Yeah.
And that's Jesus's audience.
Yeah, and you talk about the audience. This is what I scribbled down as the next kind of question thing to talk about. Zoom out for a second back to Luke chapter 15, you know, verse 1. You see Jesus is experiencing criticism from the religious leaders, from the Pharisees, about his habit of hanging out with tax collectors and notorious sinners, the lowest of lows in the society. So Jesus tells these stories. You're a Pharisee there. And if you're a Pharisee, like, I don't know, like you're a smart thinker. Like you're a thinker if you're a Pharisee, a religious leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to this story. I don't think you're surprised to see that Jesus is trying to paint you as the older brother.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
It's definitely a mirror that he's holding up in front of their faces and in front of ours. And the question is, what do you see yourself in this? You know, do you see what I'm trying to help you to see? And I think going back to this story, it was Dickens, by the way.
Okay. There we go.
So I got that one right. I think what I find fascinating, and we didn't talk about this at all yesterday, but is, so many of us, there's a lot of us that come out of younger brother stories.
Yes.
And end up in an older brother position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't reconcile why. I'm guessing it has something. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on it, but I'm assuming it has something to do with the fact that, you know, the longer we're quote unquote in, the easier it is to forget where we've come from.
Sure.
And so we end up in a position of, you know, well, I can't believe somebody would act like that. And it's like, really?
You used to.
In fact, this was funny. So we were watching the new National Treasure show on Disney Plus.
Is that like a show based upon the movie?
Yeah, and it's probably
Nicolas Cage.
He has not shown up yet.
Oh man!
But I'm holding out hope.
I hope so.
I'm holding out hope.
America's
but anyway,
National Treasure.
There's this scene. So it's like it's basically a high school drama, and so because I don't have any of that in my life now, and so I got to get it from TV. But so they do this dance thing. To where this girl dances with this guy, and they both got boyfriend and girlfriend, and
oh no,
yeah, oh it was like an oh no no thing, and I was just like, this is so dumb. This is so stupid. And Jennifer goes, dude, you whenever we were dating in high school, and I was in a play with another guy. She's like,
you got jealous.
You got jealous about that, yeah, you know. And it was just like. Well, it's still dumb, you know, and it's still stupid, and it's just like, but that's what we do. We forget. You know, oh, this is who I used to be.
Yeah.
And so then we move into this place of judgment of other people.
Sure.
And it's just like, hold up, bro. You know? So anyway, that was just fascinating to me.
Yeah. No, I think that before you started that explanation of what was in your mind, you were like, I don't know how to do this. But I think you just summarized it. Like, that's exactly right. We end up coming from younger brother to older brother because we do forget. We're in it so long that we forget. And that's why, you know, we've said it at the church so many times, one of the greatest enemies to your overall spiritual health is actually spiritual amnesia.
Yes.
Forgetting what God has actually done for you because of where you once were.
Yeah, which is why we have to go. This is why Paul David Tripp's, you know, you preach to yourself. Nobody talks to yourself more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you preaching the gospel to yourself every single day?
Right.
Almost every single moment. I was a sinner saved by grace, but by God's grace, not because of anything I've done, not because I've earned it, not because I've deserved it. I am now in this position. It is by grace and grace, 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 grace.
Grace, yeah. Which is, you know, to go on so many different, I mean, this conversation, we could take it millions of different ways. That's why, you know, like communion is so important because that's actively preaching the gospel to yourself.
Yep.
That's why church is so important because that's being surrounded by the community of people who are going to remind you of
exactly
God's goodness and grace. And so, man, I just love this conversation. But we come back to just kind of the point of sharing this story in the beginning of this series to my friend who left the faith. And it is exactly for this. We want the people who call Corinth Christian Church their home, regardless of context, but for this specific context, when it comes to the attitude we have towards those who are lost, when it comes to the attitude we have to our friends who have left the faith, we want to reflect the heart of the Father.
Exactly.
We want to avoid reflecting the cold heart of the older brother. And so in order to get there, we actually just have to take a look in and say, okay, where in my life am I the older brother? Or where you kind of ended up with your application yesterday, what are some warning signs that I need to check just in case I am becoming the older brother? So let's kind of walk through those a little bit. You gave some warning signs that I might be becoming the older brother. First one was you compare yourself to others.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how that might be a warning sign for you becoming someone who reflects the heart of the older brother rather than the heart of the father.
Yeah, and just a reminder. So in the story, the way that it plays out is you see the older brother complaining to the father going, I never even got a goat, you know, to go have a party with just a few of my friends. And here you are killing a fattened calf, which
I've been the one fattening.
Yeah. Well, in a fattened calf, one of the things that kind of comes out as you do some research on this is like a fattened calf is not just like something you do for your family. It's like the entire town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, a goat is a small party. It's a lot of meat, you know, yeah. and And so he's like, I never even got like, you never even smoked one Boston butt for me and my friends to, yeah. to come over. And over here, you know, this son of yours, you know, which is something else, but mm-hmm. this son of yours, you know, he comes back after squandering everything. And it's like you brought in, what's the place in Austin, Texas, Franklin's?
Yeah,
you know, you like did a full on catered Franklin's barbecue. You did all the brisket, all the trimmings. You did everything for him. Like, dude, I never even got a goat. And so what he's doing is he's comparing, you know, what his brother got versus what he's getting. And so what we start to do is we can start to look at, and this is where we feel entitled. I think that's a great word for it, of like, I've done all these things. How come I do all these good things for you, God, and then I look over here at this godless person and their business is thriving, they're succeeding, they look like they have a much happier marriage than I do, their kids, you know, are all on the right path, and here I am, I've been slaving, I've been doing all your things that you wanted me to do, and I didn't get any of that. That is a huge, like, red light flashing, blinking, sirens going off of, holy cow. I have an older brother heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just so natural, because why wouldn't we be tempted to do it spiritually when every single other area of life we tend to compare?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, am I funnier than them, or am I stronger than them, or mm-hmm. do I have more likes than them? How much money do they make? Do they make more than I do? It's like, yeah. How come they get to stay in that zip code and I moved, or whatever it is? Like, how come they live closer to their parents and I don't? Or
why do they have a metabolism?
It really is natural. I remember, I remember going to pick up my sixth grade CLC class, and a few of them are in the same class before CLC, and they had just taken a test.
Okay.
And they all get to the hallway, and the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, well, what'd you guys get?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I got an 85. Oh, I got an 87. Uh-huh. I got a 98.
Yeah.
Like, it was this natural comparison for even
younger. Yeah. So, you know, it is a warning sign, but it just, we tend to do it in every other area of life. So it just comes so mm-hmm. naturally to compare ourselves spiritually. And Adam, what you're saying, it is easy to fall into, you know, it's either what have I done or what haven't I done? You know,
Correct. It's
like, I haven't gone there, or haven't done that. I have, you know, I haven't screwed my life up, and yet I don't mm-hmm. have this blessing of mm-hmm. yours. I love how the first thing the father says to him is, your brother. So the reminder is, you have a relationship here. It's your brother. And where the older brother says, this son of yours, like,
not my brother,
distancing himself from the relationship. But the father reminds him, no, he's your brother.
Yeah.
I love that. So as best as we can, try to avoid comparison. The second warning sign is that you obey with grumbling.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about how that's a sign of the heart of the brother.
Yeah. Well, you hear it in his vocabulary. You know, our words kind of can tend to reveal our heart. I think I read that somewhere.
Some guy named Jesus said that or something.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. But he's like, I slaved for you, never disobeyed your order. I think that's an interesting way that Jesus, you know, chose those two words. You know, slaved obviously means what we think it means, and then orders means exactly what we think. It's like, mm-hmm. it's not your commands, it's not, you know, your principles or any of those other kind of things. It's just, it's their orders. I'm just following orders. So with that, you think there's no delight, there's no joy in that. And so that's why we said yesterday, it's like, you know, they're not lawless in their behavior, they're loveless in their heart. And so they're doing all the right things with no love. And that's a huge sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to laugh just thinking, you know, you obey with grumbling. That obviously reminds me of just, you know, you raise kids, and Adam, you've raised kids all the way out of the house and stuff like that. And there's a huge difference, right? In a kid that says, you know, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. And then a kid who stomps all the way to take out the trash or to do their chore or whatever. And we joke in our house, like, never and always are words that you're not allowed to say, because that's just not true. Like, you always do that for them. And so it's just whining and complaining, like, hold on. And so sometimes we can do that. Once again, it's natural in every other area of life to obey with grumbling. Like, we'll pay our taxes, but only because we have to.
Right.
Or we'll go the speed limit only because we have to not get pulled over, you know.
Right.
And we just kind of do it a lot of times out of the wrong sort of heart, missing mm-hmm. the
well, and this is where, you know, too, even in our spiritual rhythms and disciplines, you know, sometimes we can get there to where it's like, well, I've got to read my Bible today, or I've got to get baptized, or I've got to give, you know, and it's like, you take these things that are supposed to be gifts, you know, and I think some of the vocabulary we've used before is like, we take get to's and turn them into have to's. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a warning sign. Now, I'll say this. I want to make sure we're really clear. It's like, if you have a Monday,
yeah,
you know, and you were up way too late and, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to do my, you know, rhythm and quiet time and those things. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, you're probably not an older brother because you're feeling that way on that one Monday.
Right.
But if you go through, you know, a season of weeks or months to where it's just like you're begrudgingly doing all those things, that's probably the time to like, go, okay, what's going on here?
Right.
What's
it's
happening?
It's a time like, you know, your challenge, not to skip ahead, but it's the attitude assessment.
Yeah.
Because there's sometimes in every other relationship where you do the right things, even though you don't feel like it.
Because it's the right thing.
Because it's the right thing. Yep. And it actually reveals a heart that's in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, whether it's with your spouse or your kids or your boss or with God, you do the right thing. Even if you don't feel like it, it shows a deep love and
commitment. Yes.
So, yeah, I love that you point that out.
You guys might be able to help me out with this. I'm thinking of a quote that I think I'm half putting together is,
then it becomes your
discipleship.
Yeah.
Maybe discipleship is like long obedience in the right direction.
It's a long obedience in the same direction. That's Eugene Peterson.
Yeah, uh-huh. Eugene Peterson. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's like sometimes we get into this or mm-hmm. whether it feels right or not, we're going to just do the right thing because we know mm-hmm. who we're
serving. Do the next right thing, like Frozen 2.
Yeah, that's right.
I was so frustrated when they took that because like that's not a quote original to – anyway.
Yeah. Are you maybe that. Having a judgmental spirit to the writers?
Maybe. Yes.
Okay. So then let's jump into the third warning sign.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's what I think it's probably earned.
Yeah, something like that. Third warning sign of the heart of the older brother is that you've got a judgmental spirit towards others.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that one. I think this one probably, if I was going to suggest one that probably hit home to a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah.
It might be this one, whether they wanted to admit it or not. And I'm saying that because I know myself. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about this one.
Yeah. I think anytime you start depersonalizing things, it's a big, big warning, a red flag. You know, those people, those kinds of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's this son of yours, you know, kind of vocabulary.
Right. Yep.
And that is a posture of judgment. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we find ourselves going, it's like, well, all of those type of folks are them, that, and it's like, oh my gosh, okay, that's a heart check. God, you got to forgive me for that, because it's really easy. And I think, you know, you back it up into social media and online stuff. It's really easy to forget that in most cases, that's actually a human on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's expressing their thoughts, their feelings, and whether you agree with them or not, or behaviors and those things, it's like, it's still a human being.
Yep.
It's still a person created in God's image. It's still a real live person.
Yeah. Dare I say it's your younger brother.
Yeah. It very well could be. It's your younger brother. And that is someone. And I don't mean this in a cheesy way. I don't mean this in an overly simplified spiritual way. That is someone who Jesus Christ went to the cross for.
Yes. That's not cheesy. That's truth.
Yeah. You know, I don't want it to be trite though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's right. Just like, but it's just like, it's a reminder of like, yeah, that person who cut me off in the parking lot, you know, is somebody who
Jesus thought about them.
Yeah.
Where he was on the cross.
And that person that I want to, and getting more into the older brother, younger brother kind of thing, that person that I want to look down upon because, you know, they're an alcoholic, or they had an affair, or they're addicted to pornography, or they got a DUI, or you just go down the list, and I want to put myself into a superior position and just like throw a blanket statement out about them is just go, wait a second here. You know, that is someone that Jesus died for. And so I don't put myself over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard, it's the balance of, you know, speaking truth and love sometimes, because mm-hmm. the closer your relationship is with someone, there will require times that you have to speak truth, but it's a hard balance, right? Yeah. About how do you do that lovingly, and how do you, because you don't want to back down on either truth or love, but the judgmental spirit is so easily revealed when,
oh, yeah.
It goes back to the Paul David Tripp that you're talking about. We forget that we are such a wreck ourselves, mm-hmm. and that nothing we have we deserve.
Well, and that's,
so we fall into it,
you know, and that's the whole idea of like being able to look at someone with the heart of, you know what, they're not living right. That's okay. I can say that.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, they're not living in a healthy way. They're living in a way that is contrary to what the Lord would want or desire for their life. It's okay to say that, as long as I come along with the, but the truth is none of us are saved by living right.
Right, yeah.
We're saved by God's grace. And so, and my prayer for them, not in a, because like, golly, we're so good at this. We can even be judgmental in our prayers, you know, uh-huh. for them, yep. you know, and think that God doesn't notice it. It's like, oh, God, just bless their, you know, just bless their alcoholic little heart, you know, kind of thing. And we can just get judgmental even in that. But just like to truly have a position to like the Father, with the hand of the comforter, the hand of strength, you know, that is there, just excited that they would even begin to return back, or to, at the same way at the Father, to long and to look for mm-hmm. them to come back, instead of just going, well, you know, they're probably going to get what they deserve.
Yeah, here's something practical I just read last night, talking about maybe you are in a, like you're praying or you're journaling or something, and then somebody pops into your head. It's somebody that you don't like, or somebody that you think is the younger brother. This author suggested, don't dismiss that. It might be a distraction actually given to you by God. So take the opportunity to pray for that person and go through a series of steps. First, just meditate for a while on God's view towards them. Mm. And then meditate for a while on how God sees your opinion of them, and mm-hmm. is he pleased with your opinion of them and how you're interacting, mm-hmm. and then just spend some more time just asking God to give you his heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting, that sometimes distractions, even in prayer, mm-hmm. might be God's gift to us to grow us and strengthen us.
Yeah. So. A couple of verses that I'm thinking of, 1 John, it's written, anyone who says that they love God but hates their brother is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And not much more needs to be said. Just one that I'm thinking about to reflect on. And then as well, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, you see a speck of dust in your neighbor's eye,
mm-hmm.
But you have totally neglected the plank, the wooden plank, the log that is in your own. And so this is what some of this is getting at, is, man, whenever we talk about our friends who left the faith, or whenever we talk about the lost, that we desire to be found, before we go to them, we've got to have this inward look at ourselves. And so we've got to ask this, okay, how can I have the heart of the Father
mm-hmm.
towards those who are lost, towards the friends, the people in my life who've left the faith? And I think your bottom line gives a pretty good suggestion for how we can have the heart of the Father. So the bottom line is just to give grace as you have been given grace, to extend it as it has been extended to you. Love the challenge. And so Adam, why don't you just kind of, like you did yesterday, just kind of explain real quick what this challenge is for our people, and encourage them to take it up.
Yeah, it's just to take an attitude assessment. And so really it just kind of comes down to this idea of, you know, just going through this and looking at the warning signs. It's like, do I have an attitude of comparison? Do I have an attitude of, am I obeying, but it's like half-hearted obedience with grumbling.
Yeah.
And I would even throw in there too, am I obeying with an expectation that God is now going to have to do what I want him to do because I've been obeying? You know, that's that God in headlock thing. Do I have a critical spirit towards other people? And just, this takes honest self-assessment of just looking through our own thoughts, our own hearts, and just kind of getting to the place to where it's like, okay, all right, here's some areas I got to work on.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's really, really good. And, well, no, we're going to wrap up with some fun. Let's wrap up with some fun. Okay. So today, like I said at the beginning, was January 5th, 2023, which means that last year was a few days ago. So we get to kind of in this season, not only look ahead to what we're excited about in 2023, but to reflect on 2022, some lessons we learned, all that good stuff. So I'm going to ask some questions that are fun. It will test your, I don't know, like your improv ability a little bit. You'll have to try to be quick on your feet. I'm going to ask you if 2022 was, and then just give you a different thing. And you're going to have to try to describe that thing as 2022. So you got to really think first about what did you think about 2022.
So what did I think of 2022?
Like, what did you think of 2022? And then you're going to answer a question about if it was this, okay, what would it be? Okay.
All right. We'll see.
We're going to try it. We're going
to
try it.
And this is supposed to be fun.
Because yeah, you know, okay, you know, me yeah. and Adam are really good at improv.
I don't know. I've never done it.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Well, here we go. Yes, and if 2022 was an animal, uh-huh, what animal would 2022 have been?
2022 was an animal. What would it have been? Cheetah.
Okay. Why?
Because it's so fast.
It was fast. It
was I was going to say I wasn't going to get a cheetah.
And I was aggressive. Thinking because Tyreek Hill went to the Dolphins.
No. I was going to say something like a horse, yeah, because it just kind of went out the gate and got real fast. I'm not sure that it was a cheetah for me,
yeah,
but it was definitely faster than the previous years.
Are cheetahs aggressive?
They can run 70 miles an hour, but only for like 9 or 11 seconds.
Cheetahs go after your heart pretty aggressively, so
okay,
something like that. Okay, if 2022 was a song.
A song?
Yeah.
It's a song. See, this is a struggle because I don't listen to music.
You don't listen to music?
No.
Man, maybe this is one of the reasons you don't cry.
Might
Isn't there a song, If I Could Turn Back Time?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe because it was like the years before it.
Back time, yeah.
Or like back to 2019 or something.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that's a good one. I could say I'm in a hurry to get things done. That's an old country song. Okay.
In a hurry to get things done. I was thinking about I'm going off the rails on a crazy train. or something like that. Okay.
Is that Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's right.
Okay.
Good old Ozzy. If 2022 was a sandwich.
Sandwich. It would be from Firehouse because it has a lot of stuff on it.
It has a lot of stuff on it?
Yeah.
So you're saying 2022 just had a lot on its plate?
Yeah,
so
man. We loaded it up and toasted it and everything.
That's good. So. Yeah, I would just keep it in the same theme. I would say it was a Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's. Fast.
Yeah. It was fast.
I asked this question last night knowing that I was going to ask the questions, and I just said Subway because like you go into Subway and like sometimes it delivers and sometimes it doesn't. And I feel like that maybe 2022 as well. Like it kind of delivered some of the time, but then others of the time it was just like,
so
Subway's gross.
The best Subway like story, the best Subway story I have is actually when Sasha was pregnant and we were on our way to the hospital. She was going to deliver a baby. And she knew the hospital wouldn't give her any food. So she's like, we got to get some food. So we stopped at Subway. And this poor guy behind the counter, there was two people in there total. And when we walked, or there was one person, and we made two. We walked in. And he goes, oh, no, the dinner rush is here. It's like, you work at a sandwich shop.
There's three people is a dinner rush.
So she was giving her order and had a contraction while giving an order. So she had to take a break from speaking for a while. And he did not even notice. Like, he was,
I'll have.
That's what it was. Yeah. She was like, I'll take some tomatoes. I mean, that's what it was. Yeah. And he didn't even notice. Really, poor guy.
He
yeah.
just probably appreciated the thought that she was putting into what she wanted on that
yeah,
sandwich.
Yeah.
This okay. woman is serious about her sandwich.
If 2022 was a scented candle.
Where did you get these questions?
On a youth ministry website.
Yeah, that wow. makes
you're
sense.
Not surprised.
That makes sense.
Yeah. A scented candle. I'm going to go with one of those that has like three layers of scents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you get at Christmas time, sometimes it's like vanilla is the first layer, then pine, and then, I don't know, chestnut or something.
Okay.
It was layered.
Because 2022 was layered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much layered.
If the year was 2020, this is an easy question because then you just go to like some of those gag candles.
Yeah.
About like 2020. Oh man, that was like a barf scented candle. Right. It was terrible.
Barf scented yeah. or like a giant candle that takes forever to burn. You never get the end of it.
Yeah. That's one of those. There you
yeah,
go.
I would say a completely burnt.
Completely burnt.
Yeah.
Completely burnt.
Yeah, just like I mean, I think
used up.
It was used Stars up. Empty. I think that in 22, 2020 and 2021 were really the same year that just happened to last 24 months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so 2022 is like, okay, now we're getting back to whatever normal is going to be. And so everybody was just like, light the candle, put it, light both ends, you know. And and so I think, yeah, just use
it. Turn out quick. All right. Let's do two more. This one you can't describe. You actually have to make if 2022 is a noise.
So I think we can, this is easy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just a little quick whistle.
Whoosh.
Yeah. I thought about, you remember those, was it Mazda commercials where they just had that like little boy in the like going zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, yeah, yeah.
Zoom, zoom, yeah. Zoom. That's 2022.
Is that a word or a sound?
What is it called whenever a word and a sound is the same?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The bam pop on the Batman comics?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the term.
It's not onomatopoeia, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Onomatopoeia.
Like
zoom.
Or what a snake says.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay, last one. If 2022 was a made-up word, a word that you are making up right now.
A word that we're making up right now. I don't know, man. I told you we're not good at improv.
Make up a word.
Make up a word right now. I don't know. Trying to like cram it all in there or something.
Yeah.
Cramticular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cramtastic.
Cramtastic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go. Hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
It was something.
I think in 2023, we'll put the podcast to bed. And we'll start an improv show.
Hey, there we go.
Who's ready for some questions only?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Hey, it's been fun. Am I?
Right, I'm trying to go with questions only. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do some improv. We probably won't. But we are super grateful, nonetheless, that you've tuned in to another episode of Corinth in Your Car. We hope that you are finding yourself well. We really hope that you were blessed by yesterday's message and by the conversation today. I know that I was. Man, it's good. Adam, we've got part two of To My Friend Who Left the Faith. So make sure you join us in person for that on Sunday morning. And then we'll be back on Monday morning with another episode of Corinth in Your Car. Until next time, peace and grace.